Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. You know how we do things around here. We pick a complex topic, something that's really got people talking, and try to unpack it all together.
And sometimes we even manage to learn a thing or two along the way, right?
Always. And I gotta say, today's topic is a real doozy. It's got blockchain, privacy tools, legal battles, you name it.
Oh yeah, this one's got it all. Buckle up, folks.
We're going deep on the case of Tornado Cash.
Ah, yes, Tornado Cash. You know, this case really cuts to the heart of a lot of the big questions facing the blockchain world right now. Like, how do our existing legal systems, which are, you know, mostly designed to deal with people and companies, grapple with this whole new world of decentralized code?
It's like trying to jam a square block into a round hole. Just doesn't quite fit, does it?
Not really, no.
So for those who haven't been following this case as closely, maybe you're just joining us for this deep dive. Can you give us the quick rundown on Tornado Cash? What is it? And why has it gotten everyone so riled up?
Well, the easiest way to think about it is to imagine the old school idea of a Swiss bank account, right? Super secretive, all about privacy. Tornado Cash basically brings that concept into the digital age using the Ethereum blockchain.
Ethereum, that's a whole other deep dive, right?
Right.
But for now.
Right. But for now, all you need to know is that Tornado Cash acts like a kind of digital mixing service for cryptocurrency transactions.
So instead of your money going directly from point A to point B.
Exactly. It gets jumbled up with a bunch of other transactions, making it really hard to trace where the money came from or where it's going.
Like sending a letter through one of those anonymous remailing services makes it harder to figure out who sent what.
Exactly. You got it.
So, okay, it's all about privacy. But why did the U.S. government get so worked up about it? They actually went and sanctioned Tornado Cash back in 2022. What was the big deal?
Well, their main argument was that Tornado Cash was becoming a haven for cyber criminals. You know, all sorts of shady types looking to launder their ill-gotten gains.
I guess that makes sense. Any tool that increases privacy, no matter how well-intentioned it might be.
There's always that potential for misuse, right? And the Treasury Department was pretty firm on this. They claimed Tornado Cash was being used to funnel dirty money, and they weren't having it.
Hence the sanctions. But then things took a turn, right? A court actually overturned those sanctions. What was their reasoning?
So basically, the appeals court said sanctioning Tornado Cash's smart contracts, the bits of code that make it all work, would be like trying to hold a vending machine accountable for dispensing a bag of chips that was later used in a crime.
Wait, what? How does that even make sense?
Their point was that smart contracts are not like traditional entities, like companies or individuals. They're just bits of code, self-executing programs that operate on predefined rules.
Ah, so we're getting into the whole code is law territory here. The idea that the code itself dictates the rules no matter what.
Exactly. And this ruling really leans heavily into that concept, which has huge implications for how we approach regulation in this whole digital world.
It almost sounds like it creates a bit of a legal loophole. If you can't punish the code, who do you hold responsible when things go wrong?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And this ruling has definitely thrown a wrench into traditional legal thinking.
Speaking of wrenches, what does this mean for all the other privacy-focused crypto projects out there? You know, the ones like Zcash and Monero.
Ah, yes. They're playing in the same general sandbox, but they use different methods to achieve privacy.
Different strokes for different folks. But could this ruling affect them all the same?
Possibly. This could definitely embolden developers to get even more creative with privacy-enhancing technologies, knowing they might have some legal backing.
So it's like a cat-and-mouse game almost. Regulators trying to stay one step ahead of the tech, and each new development throws a new curveball their way.
That's a great way to put it. And let's not forget the other side of the coin. This ruling could make some people really nervous, especially those concerned about security.
The whole "this'll just let criminals run wild" argument.
Exactly. And it's a valid point. It's a constant balancing act, trying to find that sweet spot between security and innovation, between preventing illicit activities and protecting individual privacy.
So where do we even go from here? If we can't sanction the code itself, what tools do regulators have left?
Tough question. We might need to completely rethink how we approach regulation in this space. Maybe shift the focus away from the technology itself and towards the individuals or organizations that are misusing it.
So more like traditional law enforcement, going after the bad actors directly.
Possibly. We might also see a lot more emphasis on blockchain analytics, using sophisticated tools to track and trace transactions even when they're trying to be obscured.
It's kind of a brave new world out there, isn't it?
It is. This case is just one chapter in a much larger story that's still being written. It's all about how we navigate this intersection of technology and law in this increasingly digital age.
Well said. We've covered a lot of ground today, but this is definitely a conversation that needs to continue. We all need to stay informed and engaged as these technologies keep evolving because they're going to impact all of us one way or another.
Couldn't agree more.
That's all the time we've got for this deep dive. But as always, keep those minds curious. We'll catch you next time.